This podcast is a marketing communication and is for general information only. It's not personal advice or recommendation to invest. The value of investments can go down as well as up, and you may not get back what you invest. Past performance is not a reliable guide to future results. Quilter Cheviot Europe Limited is authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Welcome to the Currency.News podcast. It pays to be curious.
It's a topic that affects every household, every saver and every investor, but it's often misunderstood. It's the relationship between inflation, risk and long-term financial planning. For much of the decade following the global financial crisis, inflation seemed like a problem of the past. Interest rates remained exceptionally low, cash deposits felt safe, and many people became accustomed to an environment where the rising cost of living wasn't a major concern. But in recent years, we've been reminded that inflation never truly disappears. It can quietly erode purchasing power, it can diminish the value of savings, and it can significantly impact long-term financial outcomes. There's a lot to talk about, but to unpick it, I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Callan, an investment strategist with Quilter Cheviot. Paul.
Hi.
You're very welcome here.
Thank
you. So I was trying to outline inflation, talk about, you know, the impact of it and where it goes from now. But let's take a step back, because this isn't your first rodeo. You've been around in kind of the investment area for quite some time.
Yeah, so I started working in 1980 and I joined Shield Insurance, which through a couple of takeovers became Zurich Insurance. And I worked there for 30 years.
And then it's a lifetime.
It's a long time. So I was lucky there because it was a great firm and their assets grew quite a lot while I was there. So I worked with a great bunch of people and I got a lot of experience across different markets and different asset classes, cash, currencies, bonds, equities, looking at property occasionally. So that was a great experience.
And you thought you had retired and then you made a comeback.
Yeah, so then I took a couple of years out and then I joined NCB, which was transforming. So I joined them in, say, 2010. That's kind of interesting insofar as, 2012. What's interesting about that was that's a little bit after the global financial crisis. And as you know, the Irish economy was in a particularly bad way. We had the fallout from the banks. We had the Troika. We had masses of austerity. And NCB was a business in transition from being an old-fashioned stockbroker to becoming a wealth manager.
Yeah. And the company you work for now, and obviously it's gaining increased prominence, but it's pretty significant. Sorry, not just pretty significant. It's like 37 billion euro in assets under management across the globe, offices everywhere, and an increasing Irish presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Quilter have a long presence in wealth management, and that really suits what I'm at. So there was a very good research department in London, which we can utilise. We are Irish regulated, so we have our own investment expertise, but the resource of having the research department and other assets in London is very helpful.
Okay, so look, I said at the start we're going to talk about inflation. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't understand it, or they think they understand it. But it impacts everybody, whether you're just an ordinary PAYE taxpayer, whether you're investing, whether you're a saver, whether you have money in the bank. Like, it really is all encompassing.
Yeah, and probably inflation is one of the biggest threats of all. And interestingly, in the past, one of the better investors of all time, Warren Buffett, has called inflation a swindle. And even this year,
what does he mean by that, Paul?
Basically, he thinks that savers get shortchanged because they don't get enough in terms of the interest rates that they get paid by their bank to compensate them for inflation. And if we were to make that real in the current environment in Ireland, the central bank reckon that most Irish people have money on deposit, wadjoons, to use an old term. Wadjoons of billions on deposit, and most of it earning less than 1/5 of 1%.
Which is going to, like, we did a little briefing call before we did this podcast, and I give you the example of a friend of mine, and they put all of the, you know, the children's allowance money into a savings account for their children. So from the age of 1 to 18, they put it all aside. But the value of that, I think this is a really good way of looking at inflation. the value of that for the cost of everything else. By the time the kid hits 18, the value of what they put in doesn't make any sense.
No, I mean, they're really unlucky. So just to that example and to the one I brought up earlier, if you ask most people, they wouldn't be able to tell you that the inflation rate in Ireland last month was in the region of, say, 3.7%. So if someone is earning less than 0.1% on deposit, they have in fact lost 3.5% of what money is for. Like, money is meant to be a store of value and a medium of exchange. So the person who has had 100 on deposit last year, if they wanted to spend it, they'd need 103.7. Or if you put it into bigger numbers, you know, 100,000, they need 103,700 to buy this exact same goods and services. And that's what Warren Buffett means by it's a swindle. And it seems to be almost ever present. And modern economies tend to work with it. And the authorities, particularly central banks, lean very heavily against ever having deflation. There's an asymmetry to it. So inflation isn't tolerated below 2. Yeah. But yet, even in the recent past, we've had inflations of 7, 8, 9. We've had the highest inflation in 38 years. When I was working, we actually had, when I started in the 1980s, we had an inflation number of closer to 21%.
But back to my point at the start, mm-hmm. when after the global financial crisis and the banking crisis in Ireland, we assumed a lot of people were just there, oh, your inflation's finished. You know, like, people were actually paying money to their banks to hold deposits for them for a period. So we kind of lost the run of what inflation was and the impact that it could have.
Yeah, I think that's a really astute point, Ian, to be honest with you. There has been a step change. And if you want to say about the swindle, there just wasn't that much of a swindle after the global financial crisis in Ireland for the period up to COVID. But the swindle has come back loud and clear. And we can see that just the very fact that people will discuss a cost of living crisis is proof positive that inflation has come roaring back. The period after the global financial crisis, the austerity, the troika in Ireland, that was the anomaly. Like,
that's not the norm. That was the anomaly.
That is the anomaly. You could expect, and in fact, central banks are targeting inflation of at least 2%. But there are some people who think it might in fact be secretly higher, maybe in the region of 3%.
Can we just explain why this matters to people, particularly people if they're looking towards their retirement and things like that, that they have to understand inflation? We'll come to the products that people can invest in or the areas or how you can develop a diversified portfolio. But why this matters to people?
Because over the short term, it's almost not noticeable. You can walk around day to day and not even be aware. As most clients I meet, if I say, do you know what the latest level of inflation in Ireland is, either today or since COVID, they don't. And that's understandable. But a child born in the first year of lockdown, who's beginning to go to school now, broadly speaking, 6 years, inflation since then, if you had 100 on deposit, you'd now need about 125.
Wow.
And that's
it's striking.
It's really terrifying over the long period of time at how damaging inflation is. And the difference between a 2% inflation rate and a 4% over a long period. And it's not even a long period. It's a realistic period, because most people retiring at 60 or 65, particularly a couple, you could expect one of them to live for at least 30 years.
Well, this is the other point that I wanted to bring up with you, is that we're living longer.
Mm-hmm.
Your pension pot needs to last longer. So you need to be set up for that.
100%. And that's really where it becomes really, really tricky. So just two numbers to draw it out. Like, if inflation was just 2% for 30 years, at the end of that period, you'd need 81 extra just to stand still. Now, you're never going to get that at a fifth of a percent in the bank. But if inflation was only 4%, and I use that term advisedly, you'd need an extra 2.224 extra, which is gargantuan.
So how do people prepare for this? So, and I people are always peddling products and all of that sort of stuff, but these are big issues. We're living longer. Inflation is here to stay. It's going to keep on creeping up, which is eroding the value of what you put aside. So when you sit down with people, maybe over a coffee if you're working or at home with a dinner party, what do you explain to them?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a really difficult problem to get through to people, because the swindle or the threat of inflation, that wealth tax, as some people call it.
Yeah, it is a tax, essentially, that you're putting money aside, you're paying it off, yeah.
Yeah, so people don't actually feel that. So I suppose the first thing is to actually be aware of how damaging it is. I mean, it's really stark to think that, you know, even at moderate levels of inflation, say 4%, that you will have lost more than half of what you could buy by 20 years. And that's not a very long time in terms of one's retirement. So someone has to be aware that inflation is a real risk. And so that has to be pointed out to them. To your point, Ian, I often meet clients, and I do understand it, because it is difficult. I met one lovely lady recently, and she said, "We've worked really, really hard for this money, and we don't want to risk it." So to her,
that comes back to that idea of risk. Yeah,
exactly. So to her, the idea that the money on deposit was not a risk was something that you had to get over and try explain inflation to her. And that's why you need to take the person on a journey in terms of trying to explain what risk is.
You see, I think at times we have an unusual understanding of what risk is. We think, you know, you buy a house, it goes up or down. You put money into a stock market, it goes up or down. And that's how the idea of risk is always, how much am I going to lose as opposed to how much I'm going to gain?
Exactly. No, and that's fair. And in fact, it's a part of financial theory. It's how, you know, kind of they talk about high risk or volatility is a measure that's often used in financial circles. And it can be very useful, but it's not the only measure. And if it's used incorrectly, it can be unhelpful. Like, volatility is how much the asset price will move around. But the real risk, if you've got a nest egg, is that it won't buy you what you need
when
you need it. And to do that, assets moving around in the short run, that's not really the risk. Yeah. So you have to approach it as a client first basis to try first get them to understand what's happening.
And is that the difference between the short term risk, you know, versus the long term risk and the long term investment strategy? So I'll give an example.
Yes, please.
So my son did his confirmation, and he bought himself two Apple chairs. And every day he's looking at it go up or down or move around, and he's looking to sell or he's looking to buy. Now, depending on if it's the pennies and the pounds up, but he's looking at it on a very short-term basis. When it comes to long-term investment products, you're possibly better off doing nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know, am I?
Doing nothing in terms of not investing?
No, not investing, but not flipping around your portfolio the whole time.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the first thing is to look really carefully at what the client's circumstances are. So we're always client first. So we want to make sure that the client understands the risk. And the first thing we would do with many clients is to do a cash flow modelling, so that they become comfortable that they're not going to run out of funds in the short term. And if they can become comfortable with that, then we can build a portfolio.
A model around that, yeah.
We can build a model that will sustain what is probably, for most people, the real risk of not being able to buy what you need.
Yeah. Well, let's take us through that journey, I think, which mm-hmm. is, I think it could be an interesting one for our listeners and readers and members. You sit down, someone comes to you and they say, I need to think about my retirement. I need mm-hmm. to think about what I'm going. I've money in the bank. And you're like, well, you're not earning anything from that. So you might just take me through the journey of what you bring a client through.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, how long they're likely to live. So their age does come into it. You know, that is a proportion. And the purpose of what have they got the money for? What are they comfortable with? I mean, have they sufficient funds to see them out? So generally, cash flow modelling could be very, very helpful. So that would bring in things like what's their current nest egg? Do they have any properties with rental income, or are they thinking of selling them? Take into account what their expected pension incomings are. see what they have at the moment, and then model out how that's likely to play out in the future with inflation and making adjustments, and then see what proportion of their funds can they go on the journey with to have a diversified basket of high quality assets that will generate income and should beat inflation over time.
And how important is diversification to that model?
Yeah, well, I think it's really, really important. I'll score an own goal on myself here. Like, what your son is doing is eminently smart. He is invested in a real asset, so hats off to him.
Well, fair play to him for the 38 euro or whatever he's put into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a brilliant idea in terms of it should be a wealth creating company over time. And that's going to do him a whole lot better than earning almost nothing in the bank, because Apple could create new products. They can increase their prices in line with inflation. They will put up their subscriptions over time and so on and so forth. It is concentrated though, so that's where the risk is, but it's still a brilliant idea, because a family member asked me to do the same for, back to your earlier point, with their children, and so again it was rifle shot stuff, and one of the things I suggested didn't go well at all, but the other went really, really well. Now, it wasn't a crazy risk, but that's where the asymmetry of equities can come in. So while one, let's say, I'm giving myself a pass in here, let's say it halved, maybe it went down to nothing. But the other one went up four or five or six times. And that's one of the characteristics of equities. But being diversified makes more sense as well. Not only within the equity portfolio, but you can put in other inflation protecting assets like property and their inflation-linked bonds. There's lots of ways to blend it so you're not at mercy.
It's really interesting, because I think for many years, and people of a different vintage, when they looked at their retirement and they looked at what they were investing in, it was always property.
Mm.
What you're proposing is a kind of a different model, more interesting, and perhaps more sustainable than collecting rents or whatever on a weekly basis.
Yeah, there's no, like, property certainly has a place in it. I mean, property can be a good inflation hedge. And of course, I like the expression, you know, never does a man stray into more danger than when he's followed the path which has brought him great success. And that could be the Irish property market. Yeah. And that's fine too. But we will find that most clients have masses of exposure to Ireland anyway. They'll have their own residential property. They might be getting an income from the Irish state. And it may not be appropriate to have so much money invested in Ireland. But property certainly does have a place. But you can buy liquid forms of property overseas as well, which we can do.
I'm just going to ask you, because I think when a lot of people look at trying out words like portfolio or hedges or building up a pension pot, it can seem as if it's the uber wealthy or high net worth individuals. But I think what you're proposing is actually for most people out there to make sure that they're set up.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, diversification is a big word for not having all your eggs in one basket. I mean, it's, you know, you don't really want all your assets in one basket at all, in case something goes disastrously wrong, like, say, let's say Apple becomes the new Nokia. So you can, by being sensibly having other eggs, yeah, that will really help both with respect to that particular asset class.
And when do people need to be thinking about this? And I'm asking about myself as well and everyone else. When should you be? And I know the obvious answer is as early as possible. But when do people, at what point do they need to start thinking about their future?
It really makes a huge difference to start early, because it's in the later years that the inflation destroys you, and it's in the later years that the compound interest works in your favour.
Just explain that, would you mind?
So there's a book called Snowball. It's somebody wrote it about Warren Buffett, and the analogy is someone has a snowball at the top of a hill, and they start early and they roll it down a very long hill, and each roll you're getting interest on bigger interest, and at the end the last few rolls of the snowball becomes a massive amount of wealth, whereas Whereas it also works the same with inflation. If you get start to get eaten up by inflation at the beginning, you're already a long way behind the eight ball. And so it really does pay to start early.
What's your outlook for inflation?
Don't want to get hunkered down on inflation.
Numbers.
Forecast.
Yeah.
Well, I can't see any circumstance in the immediate future where we go back towards inflation of sub 2%. I think the central banks and the governments will prefer inflation to be higher than that. The market's expecting about 2.5%. But there have been some massive changes that brought us low inflation through the 80s and 90s that are in reverse. So there was an awful lot of extra supply brought in with globalization. That could be working in reverse. Governments were behaving themselves more. If you think Germany is now spending pots of money, which they wouldn't have been able to do under Maastricht, that could be inflationary. So my guess is at least north of 2%. My fear is that it will surprise higher than that.
But a message, I think, and it's emanating through everything you've said, Paul, is, you know, people think they're set up, they're putting money aside, but if it's not being invested in the right areas, they're essentially being whittled down by inflation. It's that tax, it's the swindle that Buffett referred to.
Yeah, no, that's entirely right. And you won't see it on, and that's what makes it so insidious and dangerous. I would be surprised if most people are thinking, if they've got a nest egg, that they need another quarter since the first COVID lockdown, which most people can remember.
So listen, final thoughts. Okay, inflation here to stay. It's always been around. We had a brief period where everything was great for a little while. But if you're sitting down with a client for the first time and you're trying to explain to them what they need to be doing, what's the message?
Just be aware that risk isn't just, you know, asset prices moving around, that a real silent killer is inflation. And while it is prudent and we do keep a rainy day fund so that people don't run out of cash short term, we can then invest the real nest egg in something that will protect them against inflation and will probably run ahead of inflation so that they have a better standard of living for themselves and hopefully pass something on to their kids.
Right, final question. Are you glad you came out of retirement?
I'm loving it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I've worked in financial markets for a long time. I'm really interested in markets. My wife often asks me why I'm reading investment books on holidays, because I think it's endlessly fascinating.
Ah, very good. Listen, Paul Callan, investment strategist with Quilter Cheviot. Delighted to have you in studio here today.
Thanks, Ian. Really enjoy that. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your time.
You've been listening to the Currency.news podcast. It pays to be curious.